Welcome to Top Shot NFT. I'm your host, Jason, and today, I say it a lot of times, we have a special guest, but more importantly, this is a special episode. We always talk about NBA Top Shot, NFTs, but 21 years ago, summer of 2000, two sportscasting forces were born into the sportscasting universe. That is Dice, the man to my side, and Jay, that's me. Dice and Jay, the sports crazies, were created, and this weekend, especially with the NBA playoffs taking place, I wanted to kind of reunite with my boy Dice, but more importantly, we had an amazing guest on our radio show, 90.5 The App, WASU, in the year, I believe it was 2001, Kenneth Mayne, Kenny Mayne from ESPN, who this week has stepped down from ESPN. They're doing a special broadcast for him sometime this week. Maybe it's even already happened. I just haven't seen it. But Kenny Mayne was easily one of our favorite guests. And so I figured if ESPN is doing a tribute to Kenny Mayne, then I'm going to do a tribute on what is now the 23rd episode of Top Shot NFT. So the Michael Jordan episode, the LeBron James episode, you name it, we got it. My boy Dice. Welcome, Dice.
Brother, it is good to see you, man. It's good to hear you. It's good to be back on the airwaves with you. I broke out
a special
jersey for the occasion, the classic John Starks orange and blue. The Knicks are back in the playoffs. It's a wild time, my brother.
I mean, if you think about 99, when we first did it, the Knicks were in the NBA Finals. So we finally have a reason to reunite. More importantly, you are the host of Pick Up the Six, an awesome motivational podcast. Just kind of tell us what you're doing in the broadcasting world.
Yeah, thanks, brother. Man, it's great to talk about that. And I'm super pumped to be here. I love what you guys are doing. I'm keeping track a little bit of what's happening in the NFT space. I got a few questions for you I want to ask you about some NFT stuff while we got it. Also excited to talk about NBA playoffs. Yeah, man, Pick Up the Six podcast. We're at pickupthesix.com. We're on all major podcast apps, and our focus is on the men and women among us who have picked up the six, who have helped other people, who have done something amazing, heroic, or also just kind of cool, or maybe even a little extraordinary through service before self, strength of purpose, and community impact. Three major areas where we focus on. And, you know, we do a ton of military stories, but we also talk to some hard chargers that have got real sort of strength of purpose in their life, or maybe they're doing things in and around their community to make a difference. So, man, we're cranking. We're 27 episodes deep over there while you hit number 23 today. And so we're just turning and burning, man. We're doing what we do. We're talking, we're having a great time. We're meeting awesome people, and we're sharing really cool stories.
Yeah, the hustle's real because, you know, your show is just you. And so having a guest is pivotal to your content. You know, Lennox usually joins me on about half of the podcast. So a lot of times it can just be me and him. We try and get as many guests as we can, but, you know, timing and everything. But yours is really driven. And just getting in contact with people, as easy as it is with social media, with Twitter and Instagram, it's still actually very difficult to get those contacts.
You got to be willing to put yourself out there, right? And, you know, we've amassed a lot of connections throughout the years. I've amassed a lot of connections through different careers and paths of getting to know people. But we've also done a few episodes where I've just reached out and I've asked some people. We did an episode with the guy who was the lead interrogator who tracked down Saddam Hussein. I mean, it's a crazy story this guy tells about all the ins and outs of going through Tikrit, Iraq, trying to find him. I just reached out and I just asked him, man. I just found him and I asked him. He was like, I'd be happy to do it. Or we got the guy who was the helicopter pilot who saved Marcus Luttrell. If you've ever seen the movie Lone Survivor, that was the guy who picked him up. I found that guy. And we just asked them, you know, and so we've been very fortunate here in the early going. We're doing 2-3 episodes a week. We got big stuff coming up here with Memorial Day coming up and some pretty powerful shows that we're going to drop here, you know, in the near future. So, yeah, man, we're excited. And there's great stories to tell. You're having awesome conversations. There's a lot of crap out there, bro. There's a lot of crap out there. And I'm like, let's tell some cool stories.
I was trying to think about this, and I don't know how, like, so if we really considered like 99 as our first broadcasting year, that would give us
my first broadcasting job was in the third grade at WAES Elementary School, where I got to do the local weather for the morning.
So you're looking at least 30 plus years.
Right. Totally.
but if we subtracted that, because we don't have actual tape on it, but
there's not a lot left. No.
Yeah. So if we did 99, I actually thought about this as, because of my professional career, I was 05.
Yeah.
The last time I was on like an NBC broadcast. However, through my career, like post professional broadcasting, I did poker commentary. I've done a number of internet TV shows. And now like this is the last installment. Yeah. But even the last 6 years, I still did like social media interviewing. And you've done a lot of work with your new position with, in the education world. Mm-hmm. But I always see you doing not just interviews for people interviewing you, but you're also putting out kind of content as well. So I would say now that we have the term content creator, we've amassed 40 years plus of content creation.
Yeah, dude. I mean, we came out of college in 2003. You were a little bit before me, a semester ahead, right? And went right into local television jobs, you know, kind of worked our way through it. I was a production assistant at the gate, knew I wanted to get on air, basically talked my way into a sports department and said, I'll just do whatever you want me to do. And yeah, so started kind of doing that. And yeah, you're right, man. We did official on-air things. And then, you know, yeah, now we live in this day and age where for organizations or companies or even your own kind of content and brand, you can go out there and create stuff and distribute it. And you got to work your tail off sometimes to try to get people to listen and watch. So that's where that hustle comes in, man. You know, just keeping it going. But I find too, man, you create cool stories, you create good content, you be consistent with it, and people will come around and keep doing it. The biggest thing out there is anybody and their grandmother can start a podcast or start an audio show, right? Or start a video show. But do you have the wherewithal to just keep it going, man? Keep grinding. And
isn't it kind of interesting because like say instead of graduating in like 03, 04, if we graduated in 13, 14, we already have our radio show. It's like instead of, you know, trying to go the traditional route, because I can tell when we both first started, it was like you had to get a college degree. That was a must just to be in your position, your first position as a production assistant doing cameras. You had to have a college degree and then you had to work your way up the ladder before you could even think of being an ESPN. But now there are guys, in essence, we could have just come straight up, done our own social media.
We could have had an internet radio show, right? We could have Dyson J the Sports Crazies could have rolled right out of WASU and Boone and rolled right into a podcast studio and just knocked it out every week and distribute it and do the same thing. Game changer.
It's funny because when we first started in the professional world, like I actually ate better in college than I did as a professional because the pay was so bad. So it's like, I would have been fine, you know, with what peanuts you could have made as a fledgling podcast.
If there was a high school sports tournament happen in around the TV stations I worked at, and I found out they had a hospitality suite with some free sandwiches, there was a bet your boy was covering that.
Anytime I went to like a Clemson game, they will always have like the coolers full of like Gatorades and sodas. I had a backpack full of my camera batteries and tapes. And I always make sure to get the oversized one on those days. And I would just load up with Gatorades. If it was Chick-fil-A sandwiches, a couple sandwiches, that was going to be lunch for the week. Yeah.
Yep.
You do what you got to do.
Man, you do what you got to do. You enjoyed the free food. You know, I worked in Decatur, Illinois for about 5 years and, you know, went to many a football game at Memorial Stadium or the Assembly Hall and actually got to have lasagna, cooked up Italian lasagna in the bowels of the Assembly Hall with Brent Musburger once. That was a pregame meal when he was calling games to the Big Ten. Aaron Andrews was there on that occasion, if memory serves correct.
Did she ask about me?
We chatted briefly.
No.
It was, you know, a lot of people.
Didn't have enough time. Maybe next time. Right. It's funny, too, because I always have to credit you, and I don't even know if you quite realize this, but when we did not go to college the first semester. Mm-hmm. We started roommating the spring semester, even though we've known each other since fourth grade. But my first semester, I was going to be a international business major, and my dream was to be a diplomat. I had no idea what that meant, but I just knew that they got free parking and got to travel the world. So that was the plan. I almost flunked out. every business class, and my professor actually told me, is like, you really need to think of something else. And it was just like the Seinfeld episode with George and Jerry, where he quits his job and it's like, well, I like sports. You know, I make good comments. It's like, you do make good comments.
They usually give those jobs to, you know, broadcasters or maybe former players.
But I was like, well, what's your major? And you knew from the get-go, you were like, ESPN, I want to be a sportscaster. And I was like, you know what? That sounds cool. I'll do that. And I took my first audio production class and then radio, and we started the Sports Crazies. And
God, man, that show was so much fun, man. That show was so much fun. They let us do whatever we wanted for 2 hours a week on Fridays on an actual radio bandwidth that people could listen to.
Look, I know that the millions and millions that are going to watch this are probably going to call BS. However, it is my belief that you and I started what is now called Pardon the Interruption. And the a couple months later, they came out with PGI. Now, don't get me wrong, Kornheiser and Wilbon are very good. But they stole it from WSU. They were totally.
But you also think about, you know what we were talking about before, like just asking people to be on podcasts that I do now that you do? Dude, we had Trey Wingo, Kenny Mayne. Like, we had Ernie Johnson called in.
He called in.
He called in. We had some issues with that one. But, I mean, those are some pretty big names calling into WASU.
Oh, the king, really, that unfortunately no one probably really knows now unless you're really into sports. But Marty Burns, who was
a great interview.
The NBA insider for CNNSI at the time. And
this
he
is when MJ's coming back. This is when MJ's coming back. Wizards MJ.
Yeah. We had some big stories, you know. So
famous Marty Burns line on that show talking about MJ.
He's got more money than a Saudi prince. Saudi prince.
Here's another great story. Can I tell a story about one of these shows? So Kenny Mayne was a great interview. Hilarious. Trey Wingo. We got Trey Wingo on once and he called in and we had this hilarious conversation. Cause at the time ESPN was doing this quarters competition, right? Where you could basically play like a tournament of quarters. You guys remember, right? You hit the quarter, you try to get in the shot glass, hijinks ensue on a college campus. And, you know, we were just asking him about himself and about his life. My boy Jay over here was like, Hey, can I ask you something, Trey? And he was like, sure. He goes, how old are you, dude? Trey Wingo's like, how old are you, dude? He just asked him how old he was while we were on the air. And then at the very end, you're like, anything else you want to give the kids of App State? And he's like, what, like a 20?
And it's amazing. And this is before social media. Like, the only social media you have was like AOL chat rooms. I actually got an interview with ESPN to produce for the outdoor games, and I had to drive up to Bristol. And on my way up, I emailed Trey and I was like, I'm interviewing at ESPN. I'd love to meet you in person. And he was like, no problem. Whoever you're interviewing with, just tell them to show on my desk. I'll be there. And they literally just walked me through the bullpen where all the ESPN anchors had their desks. And they're straight in this tiny cubicle, you know. And he was pretty young there because him and Kenny, maybe 5 years they had been at ESPN, maybe at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just great dudes. And, you know, it's funny, too, because there are I see some younger content creators now that get a big head. But the overwhelming majority of every sports broadcaster that is what most people consider famous are usually so down the earth. And it's the ones that that take it a little bigger. And I don't mind putting them on blast, but like Jim Rome was the only sportscaster to ever big time me. And I was trying to do an interview and he said, oh, CBS won't let me do it. And I was like, come on, Jim. Like, you, but he's I guess personality wise, if you're a personality on sports broadcasting, it's different. But if you're a true journalist, like they're all cool. Chris Berman, I did a great interview with
him. Super cool. Yeah. And Patrick always treated you great all the times you've met him.
Love like, DP. Super cool. Yep. Yeah. So, man. And Ernie Johnson was always, he was my first mentor. I worked with him 2001 NBA Western Conference playoffs. I was on the TNT set every single day, learning from Ernie. I got to work with Charles and Kenny. And that was really what just, unfortunately, I got to see what the top of the top was like. So then when you have to kind of come down and you work in the smaller markets and the smaller jobs, you're like, but I want to do what he's doing.
I want to do what they're doing. You're like, I got to go get a chicken sandwich over here at this high school volleyball tournament.
Meanwhile, Charles Barkley's getting Cheesecake Factory and like,
he's doing whatever he wants to do. He's doing whatever he wants to do. EJ, maybe the GOAT, got to be in the upper echelon and one of the greatest humans to probably ever walk the planet. He's the best.
And there's that new Inside the NBA like documentary that came out that really highlights him. He had a 30 for 30 that for some reason has kind of been lost, but like it was amazing about him and his adopted children. And you know, the consensus is, and I know it firsthand, it's like, God, you can't, it's like a walking saint. It's like he always says the right things. He'll always do the right things.
He's the real deal. Yep, he's the real deal.
So with that said, Ernie, TNT, NBA, we are in the first weekend of the NBA playoffs. We had the bubble. So the last year's playoffs, which really were only a couple months ago, really. Mm-hmm. Now we're in kind of the traditional, fans are actually kind of back in a limited capacity in some arenas. How has your NBA viewing been this year?
It's weird, man. Last year was so strange, right? The bubble thing was very interesting. And I mean, what did they finish in November by the time it was all said and done, right? So we're not that far removed. This year's different too, because you got this play-in pool kind of style, you know. Ways for the NBA to try to make sure some teams get in there. That maybe
Now every team is technically in 66% are in the playoffs. Yeah.
So I tell you what, man, for me, cards on the table, I get interested when they get to the playoffs. You know, it's a long season. It's a slog. It's a lot of games, right? It's a lot of games during the week. So when they get to the playoffs, I get interested. And I like the way the game upticks a little bit in the playoffs too. I find it's a slower style during the regular season. That's the way the NBA's transitioned over the last 20 years, really. Mm-hmm. But when they got to put the pressure down, they get going to the playoffs. And look, when things like the Lakers coming in as a 7 seed, right? To see what they're going to have to do, but still hard to bet against them. So I start getting pretty intrigued. I keep an eye on it. I always like to see what's happening. But now playoff time is when I get kind of, all right, let me see what's happening here. Let me see what LeBron's going to do now. Mm-hmm. Let me see what kind of shot Dame's going to make now. What kind of big shot? And then, you know, you're void of a couple of big timers too, right? So it's going to be an interesting run here, I think. I want to see a lot what's going to happen. I want to see what these Knicks are going to do, right?
Yeah. And as we record this, I believe the Knicks are actually playing and probably finishing up soon. We had the first day of the playoffs yesterday. The Lakers played earlier before this broadcast. And I tell you, the Lakers lost, but what makes me excited, and I know the playoffs are here, is there was a scuffle with my cousin, Montrezl Harrell. And
that's right, my cousin.
And Cameron Payne. Cousin. You know, and it wasn't like a fight or anything, but just that whole like where people stand up and like get off the bench. And it's well known that basketball players are the worst in scuffles or fights.
Not if Rudy Tomjanovich is coming to lay a haymaker on your rump.
Yeah. They've definitely that was a long time ago. But
that's right. You'll have to Google that one if it's a newer audience.
Or if the players go into the stands, then they have a better chance, you know. Malice in the Palace. But I just like that. That gives you like there's a bit of intensity, and that wasn't even like a real big scuffle, but there will be something like that. You know, tensions will run high. It's funny because, you know, we grew up Boston Lakers Bulls era where, you know, like Robert Parrish like literally like punched Bill Laimbeer didn't get called for anything.
Nothing.
You know, and now, like the lightest tap, you know, and I'm a big LeBron James fan, but, you know, I'll be the first to admit that he definitely lays down, you know, when he gets tapped a little too long.
He loves the dramatics. He's got a flair for it.
He's in LA. He's probably got a good.
You can't see, you know.
The acting coach he used for Space Jam has definitely paid dividends on the court. But that's, you know, LeBron's got the biggest microscope on him, but every player, it just seems like, you know, they get tapped. I hate, like, LeBron got called for a foul, and the guy had he was kind of hand-checking, and LeBron just pulled up real quick and flung it, and that's considered a foul. Like, I get by the letter of the law that, like, if you just breathe on a shooter now, they're going to the line, you know?
Yeah, games change, man. Games change, but it still gets entertaining. You know, NBA Finals, I think, is always really pretty entertaining when they get there. I mean, you got some of the best athletes on the planet out there mm-hmm. playing this game, still flying around, doing incredibly cool stuff. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I don't know what to make of this Lakers-Suns series. Like, part of me really wants CP3 to get a run here and get going. But you got to beat the champs. I mean, I know they're already up a game, so that's good for the Suns, right? As we're sitting here tonight, Phoenix is up a game. But if they can beat, if they can win this series and beat the Lakers, like, they've got a pretty good path here to have taken down the champs. To kind of roll.
I could be wrong, but the Lakers, I believe, were down 2-0 in the first round when they were in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're one of the best, I guess.
They got LeBron. They got Anthony Davis. They're the defending champs. I mean, you got to pick them to win the series, but part of me kind of wants to see CP3 get a run at this thing, because that could open them up to the NBA Finals. Like, they've got some competition in the West. I'd like to see him square off with the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. Would be pretty entertaining.
It kind of is like the NCAA tournament, but even worse in the playoffs, because if there is a first-round upset, and, I mean, ironically, the Suns are the 2 seed, so technically it wouldn't be an upset, but if there is some kind of an upset, like, could the Suns actually make the NBA Finals? And I don't think that's, you know, it's possible, but I wouldn't put my money on. So if there is that, like, first-round upset, usually the cream rises to the top. We did see Miami as a, believe, a 5th or 6th seed last year, although it was in the bubble, make it.
Dude, they were like, that team was made for the bubble. Like, Butler and those guys, like, they were made for the bubble. They had no cares. They were just balling. They got rolling, and they just were cruising.
And they're fun to watch. That's just a great team. You know, like, Butler has the ability to go for 30, 40, but he never really has to. And they almost snuck out one against Milwaukee, and Butler, I think he had 19. So, you know, again, in the East, it's all eyes are on New Jersey and their super squad that they've developed, which I almost like to call it like Misfit Island, you know, because you've got the 3 biggest head cases in the game, you know. And maybe it's not even fair to put James Harden in the Misfit category of Durant.
He sort of did that to himself. He kind of did that here over the last year and moving like that and trying to move like that. I mean, I'll give you a little bit of wiggle room on that.
Yeah. I you know, Durant's got fake Twitter profiles to attack his haters. Kyrie is on literally like another planet that's flat.
I'd like to see Philly give it a shot. I'd like to see Philly give a run and see if they can't do something here. You know, this, you feel like this team over the last couple of years has been building for this to make a push, but man, that's a lot of firepower in Brooklyn. Like, that, those guys get going on any night, they can just tear your heart out because they can just score everywhere. That's hard.
It's interesting because, like, is like the Sixers, you know, the process, like, it's been a long time coming. And they actually don't have a lot of those pieces that they did draft. And you would think that with that squad that they had when they had Jimmy Butler and they had J.J. Redick, that should have been the team, but maybe it just wasn't their time. Embiid has definitely put up MVP numbers. We'll have to see. I actually kind of think Steph Curry should be the MVP this year, even though Embiid and Jokic over this season have put it up. But what Steph Curry was able to kind of pull off at the end, you know, averaging over 40 for the month of, you know, that's, I mean, I guess, you know, he might have a chance in the league. Steph Curry might
I would have loved to see, you know, there's, you think about players that are like generational guys that are all-time greats in their generation. You wonder how they would play if you took them back in the day. I'd be really interested about Steph. I mean, he's unreal. Like, he's unreal, the stuff he does. The physicality of it would obviously be a problem, right? I mean, the things that he can do with the basketball, if you could put a body into him like they could in even the 90s, it'd be a different thing. But that kid could still get his shot up from everywhere and anywhere with long guys in the league now. So it'd be interesting to see how he could handle the physicality of it, but
he changed the league possibly more than anyone else in the last, you know, maybe even more than what Shaq changed the league. Because Shaq, you know, they definitely put in a lot of rules because of Shaquille. And I think that what would be interesting is if you look back, like, especially in the 90s basketball, where it was more physical, but, you know, if Charles Oakley or Patrick Ewing, to use the Knicks as an example, were out past the three-point line, you could just sit back. You didn't have to guard them. You know, it wasn't until they started getting around the key that they were dangerous. Well, now your big guy has to, like, everything is a switch, you know. So even if you were to say put LeBron James on Steph Curry, well, they're going to switch, you know, and there's going to be some kind of mismatch. They're going to, you know, use the weakest defender against him. You know, maybe it's Drummond and a switch like that. I think the IQ of basketball and the strategy is, I don't want to say it's higher, but it's just had to adapt so much differently with the guys like Steph Curry, Dame Lillard. You know, they're making more threes than players were attempting, you know. All the records for three-pointers are going to be owned by Curry and Dame, and it'd be interesting to see, like, in 20 years where it's at, you know. I'd like to see a four-pointer, you know, just –
What about a peach bucket? What about a peach bucket that's above the hoop?
The 20-point rock and jock.
Back. The jock jams. Yeah. The jock jam style, right? And you can do stuff like that. Yeah, I'm down for it.
I mean, they're already pulling up from half court, so might as well give them more incentive, you know. But you and I did play some basketball, and I was considered a big man in, like, sixth and seventh grade. And if I pulled out for an outside shot, it was like, what are you doing? You're down low. You're the big guy.
Yeah, but you could shoot, though. You could shoot. That was the difference. You weren't meant to be down there. That's the problem.
All right, so when we played, yes. When I got to high school, I couldn't shoot as good as our shooters. And it's still high school, you know. But that was, you know, you had designated players. And if they didn't take a step in, you know, if they could take a step or two in for a pull-up, instead pull the three, like a step back. If you step back to shoot a three, like, you might get benched.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, if you don't step back, you'll get benched because a three is better than a two. It's we're a little older. Mm-hmm. So,
hey, know. So you're, you grew up a pretty big Duke fan. You got a couple Duke kids that are playing in a few of these series. You get to see what Trae Young can do here. I'm interested to see what Trae Young can do here with this Atlanta team. And if they can push, they're going to have a hard time. Anybody's going to have a hard time with Philly coming out of that side of the bracket. It's just going to be a challenge. But,
well, you know, Duke players as a whole, because, you know, the Knicks have R.J. Barrett, who I believe is right there on the cusp of not necessarily being an all-star, which I think is in his career at some point. But, you know, his is just a lot of consistency. But he plays more minutes than any other player on the Knicks. Yep. Like, he's the most conditioned. He works hard. I think he's a pretty good defender. You know, the Knicks are scary because they have a lot of young guys. Obi Toppin, who hasn't played a ton, but, you know, is only a rookie. Quickly, who is a rookie as well. Mm-hmm. And then you've got actually a young veteran in Julius Randle. You know, they have one more piece. I mean, they're right there. If New York wins this series against the Hawks, that city's going to go nuts. I think they will. I think the Hawks are a better team, but I think traditionally the Hawks tend to be a better regular season team. Like, they've had some seasons where they were gangbusters in the regular season. In fact, one year they had like four or five all-stars and had the best record, and then they lose pretty early in the playoffs. So,
right. And then the other thing too, like, if you're a Knicks fan, or, you know, they get past that first series, you know, Philly hasn't shown us they can do it, right? They've sort of been around, but has not gotten over the hump, hasn't made the deep run, you know, the deep runs like you would think that they should. So, you know, that doubt starts to creep in. You got a young talented team. I mean, I'd be excited to see that happen.
One of the biggest issues I have with the Lakers in particular, and just to use this as an example, is like, I'm a big LeBron fan. I argue that he's really the greatest ever, but I get mad at him because he doesn't take over, you know, and especially now with Anthony Davis, like, I feel like he's defers sometimes to even Anthony Davis. He did it in Miami too much with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Anthony Davis, I've never been a fan of. I think he is the softest seven-footer out there, and he has big games, but I'm just not sold on him. I like the players that go to that next level. Donovan Mitchell in the bubble last year did it. Jamal Murray, unfortunately, is injured, but he did it. Luka Doncic for sure does it.
Mm-hmm.
I bring this up because Trae Young has the ability in this series, if he can do it, if he can take that where he just puts a team on his shoulders, prove that you are not in Steph and Dame land, but like you're right outside the door knocking. Because right now he's not. He thinks he is. But
yeah, he's not, but this is an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity for him to try to move up into that next. You ain't going to be on those guys' level just yet, but you got to win this series, right? You got to win this series. You got to show out in this series. You got to win this series, and you got to try to make some noise against Philly. Even if he balls out and they lose the series, you're not going to be talking about Trae Young that much without a series win, right? You got to get the win.
And one of my Duke guys, Jason Tatum for Boston, who they lost Jaylen Brown, who is arguably as good as Jason Tatum, mm-hmm. And an all-star. He's done. If by some way Boston was able to beat the Nets, which I don't think is going to happen, but it would be because Jason Tatum just goes berserk and averages like 50, and then he becomes.
Wasn't he killing the bubble? He was killing it in the bubble last year.
He kind of took a step back in the regular season because mm-hmm. his, you know, in Top Shot especially, like his value was way up there. And everybody has kind of come down back to earth now. But I think he's one of the most undervalued players because he's only like 21, you know. Mm-hmm. Like he's got plenty of years ahead of him, and he's playing at a huge level. I mean, as a rookie, he was going ahead – you know, against LeBron in Cleveland and, you know, held as much of his own as he could as a rookie.
Yep. All right. So you got the top tier guys in Top Shot. They're always going to draw big attention. Who else right now? Is there anybody that's trending that's grabbing a bunch of stuff? Does the playoffs change it at all? Is there stuff available? Like what's going on with that?
So it's weird in Top Shot because if you just follow like the influencers, you know, who put out great content and they're, you know, very hopeful. I always call them like to the moon content mm-hmm. creators that think that Top Shot is going to be the greatest thing ever. Then they think like this is a great time, like buy everything, everything's so low. I don't know that we've seen the bottom. Everyone's been banking on this playoff push. Like once the playoffs are here, everything's going to go up. The timeline has been like in January when I first kind of got in, we had a good little bump. And then February, mid-February, it went crazy. And this is probably when I was calling you and being like, hey, you really need to look into
get
this.
Get some stuff. If you can get some stuff, get some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And now since then, it is really, really tanked pretty hard. I mean, to give you an idea, like I have a Ja Morant Metallic Gold, which is a rare card. And it is going for under $1,000, I've seen. And at one point it was $4,000.
Yep.
You know, like that's, you know, a lot of things have really come down to earth. I don't know what the secret is. Like, I do know that once the NBA is kind of out of sight, out of mind, even though now they've done a great job of making it a year-round buzz, once the finals are over, there's definitely going to probably be a lull as we see in traditional sports markets. So I think what little pump might happen for a handful of players, like LeBron's always going to kind of be more than everybody else in a good investment, no matter when you get him.
Yep.
But if Giannis loses in the first round, that's not going to be good, you know, but if the if the Nets win and Durant, Harden, and Kyrie, like as they go and get closer to the top, I think there'll be a little bit of a pump. But I also think that people are aware of that it's kind of a fake pump. The only thing that's going to really save it is a huge influx of active users. Like, we got a lot of active users in the beginning, like I said, around February, when it was basically like, this is an easy way to make a ton of money. Like all cryptocurrency. Like,
sure.
You know, buy Dogecoin, buy Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin's down to like 35K from 60K. Ethereum is down from 42K or 4,200 to like 2,000 today. Everything, you know, this is just kind of how volatile it is. I don't know that Top Shot is going to rebound, you know, to the heights that we saw in February. I hope so. I'm heavily invested. But, you know, there's still a lot of people that that just aren't really interested in collectibles to begin with. Like, that's a hard thing, whether, you know, you have to have the collector base. It can't just be someone that's like, oh, I'm going to buy this because in 2 years I'm going to sell it. You know, right. Just like even Bitcoin, like, you know, the people that make the most money are just the ones that seemingly just hold on forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know. I mean, I still
think the average person walking into it who sees it has likely a hard time wrapping their brain around even what the heck they're doing, why they're doing it, what these things are. But I'll be interested to see the way we've only seen more of these things come online. You've only seen more crypto come online. Same thing with this. You'll see this, right, go into other leagues, right? Like UFC feels like it's prime for. WWE seems like a perfect place.
They had a release. It did not do great.
Man, that feels like a perfect, although maybe if it was The Rock and some of the old school guys.
Yeah.
But you could get old moments with those guys.
There was an Undertaker. I saw that. I didn't.
But like, I couldn't see like baseball doing it.
Is
football going to do it too?
They're supposedly talking to the company that Dapper Labs, which has
the league's got to be all bought in, and I think the league's got to be willing to put some real marketing around it and push it. So that's what you thought with the NBA, like,
yeah,
we're seeing some commercials. Like I know because I've seen when packs are dropping or when things are happening, you know, those guys are live streaming. Cole Anthony was on a few lives, so they got some guys in the league that are kind of tuned up on it. I think they need more big name guys in the league, like investing in it, being a part of it.
And Michael Jordan is with a group that just invested $300 million. So if and when the Michael Jordan moment ever drops, Lord knows what happens with that.
Bro.
but you're part of a group that gets a bunch of men that get together and work out, and men talk about men's stuff, you know, beer, babes, sports. Yep.
Yeah, very similar.
I'm just going to put a number out. Let's say 30 guys regularly go to your workout, and more or less.
Yeah.
How many of those, if you were to sit there and say today, like, how many of you guys have a Top Shot account?
Yep.
Like, not even just know about it.
I'll give you the exact number. On a daily basis where I live, we have about 100 guys that work out in and around my town, in our little region. It's called F3, this organization. We got about 100 guys a day that work out. Three guys in that whole thing have a Top Shot moment. I'm one of the three. Right. So there's two other guys in it. They're crypto guys. You know, they just investor guys. The one guy works in augmented reality, right? So he's a virtual reality guy. The other one's just an investor, just an older guy. He's 60 years old. He's not super old, an investor. So those three guys, other guys have heard of other versions of this, know what NFTs are, but that I can say with certainty, now this group of guys is bigger. It's 400 or 500 guys that have come through our door, but there's about 100 that routinely kind of work out each day. Right. So three guys in that whole group.
And so, you know, if you're really what we call bullish on this, then you would say, see, 80, 75%, whatever, you know, the numbers don't even know about it. Wait till they find out.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of, you know, I can tell you this, like, you and I collected sports, you know, basketball and baseball cards. And when it started booming again, you know, in the last couple of years, I had zero interest in buying. And I was like, for me, it was kind of like, yeah, I remember buying into that crap, you know, before and getting burned pretty heavily. I do think, you know, it's such a new and novel idea. I mean, there's still people that aren't sold on crypto, and I don't even know if it's smart. Like, it could all come crumbling down.
Yeah.
We really don't know. I will say this, that when I look on my Facebook, and I speak more to cryptocurrency than I do NBA Top Shot, but when I look on my Facebook and I see this, we're from a very small town, North Carolina, very podunk town, and I see the girl that, you know, is a Starbucks barista, no offense to those, in my hometown of 20,000 people telling me that I need to buy Dogecoin and, you know, she's giving crypto advice, that's when I know I'm too late to that product.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, and I also know that, one, what little she is investing wouldn't, I mean, not to be braggish, but like for her, like $200 investing in Dogecoin is probably a big deal. That doesn't move my needle at all, you know, and almost guaranteed, like she's going to do something where it's never not going to be the big win. She's winning on paper right now. Like in Top Shot in February, I was winning on paper and I was looking at like six figure account.
Right. Yeah, but that just didn't feel sustainable the way it was coming hot like that. Like it was going to have to level back out.
And, you know, but at the same time, like that's the hard part with it. And that's why there's that gamble aspect. It's like, because, you know, my account, you know, was at six figures. It's like, if I sold everything and then the next month it was seven figures, I'd feel like an idiot, right. You know?
Yeah.
And I had a friend who on January 1st, his account, which was a relatively large account, was right around like 50K. And then by the end of January, it was like a million. And then by the end of February, it was 6 million. So when I'm sitting there in February, I'm like, oh, well, this is how it goes. This, I'm ready, you know?
Yep.
And, you just got to be kind of careful. And
I just want to see what they do with it. Like, I think there's got to be a way to tie it into fantasy sports in some way. So as you're participating in fantasy sports, and you could do this across sport platforms, right? I can easily see this happening in football. Part of the fantasy sport platform could be in real time being able to win or purchase moments like this that are valued at certain levels. And I could see something like that happening in the future. We're not that far. Like it's all happening now, but to where it's kind of mainstream and it's a real thing and people are working it in real time. I mean, I could see that something like that playing out.
And they just, the last week or two started doing something with FanDuel. It hasn't been really publicized and they're supposed to be starting to do more advertising and marketing and, you know, we'll have to see. That's always been my kind of thought is like, the day that I turn on the TV and see an NBA Top Shot commercial, it's like, now we're here. Like, this is kind of getting close to the top.
Yeah.
So I'm still kind of hopeful, but who knows? You know, it's all that old internet stuff, you know? Right,
so if you could get a moment from back in the day, could you pick a moment? Like if they could make a moment from an old school play or something?
So it's funny because I see people that, you know, are in the community and they're always like a Kevin Durant's run it back moment, which is from I believe his rookie year. Like that's one of the most popular moments. They're like, oh, I've been eyeing that and I really want it. It's like $30,000.
Right.
That does nothing for me. But the two best moments that I have as far as a fan, I've got, I'll say three. LeBron's Kobe tribute dunk, and then I've got Luka hitting the three in the bubble to win, and then I've got LeBron's no-look three. So those moments are really cool. But historically, if I could pick any, I would obviously want Michael Jordan – everything.
Just the shot against the Cavs, not just the push on Byron Russell, like all of it.
I think, you know, it's so funny because like I would probably go with the Craig Elo one. I think it looks cooler than the Jazz.
It's real cool.
And the problem with the Jazz one is he came back to the Wizards.
Yeah.
You know, if that had literally been his last shot, then there's no question, you know.
I think if they could do free throw dunk, that first one free throw dunk would be
see, is that, I don't know if they would do that because that was a dunk contest.
And it's not a game moment.
And it's not a game moment. So I would go,
is there anything floating out around there now? Are they all fully game moments?
It's all game moments. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So the Jordan,
give me some of those Vince Carter ones too. Does that be
like, well, he's got plenty during the game, but you know, like, and for Vince, actually, my favorite moment for him was when he was in the Olympics and jumped over that Australian guy, you know, with the fro,
like,
and wearing my favorite Nike shocks. So
those were some good shocks.
Package. The Jordan against the Lakers, the up and under. I think that because I, even when I see that clip, I hear the commercial, you know, sometimes I dream that he is me. And they use that in the commercial, like,
boom, 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 boom. I dream I move. I dream I grew. It's probably at that moment where he comes up and under.
Yeah. But I think if I had to pick my favorite NBA moment, just because of the players involved, I that like if I had to buy something, especially for investing purposes and fandom, I would go Kobe to Shaq on the alley-oop.
Where Shaq's make that big face when he comes running back up.
Because it's such a great reaction. Too.
It's an amazing moment. It's an amazing moment. Yeah.
You know, or the, because I like the Jordan where he goes like that. Like that's, you know.
It's the Trailblazers, if memory serves correct.
That is correct, against Clifford Robinson.
God, man, how good was The Last Dance, bro? It was so good.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. We didn't have a show to talk about.
God, it was so good. I couldn't stop watching it. I need to run it back. I've only watched it once all the way through. I need to run it back.
The crazy thing is, I would venture to say 95% of everything in The Last Dance I had seen.
Yeah, sure.
But it was so worth seeing that 5%. Like, when he's in the back with the ushers and he's like, throwing quarters off the wall and gambling. He's
smoking a cigar, playing with a baseball bat like an hour before they're going to play an NBA game. And then obviously the Carmen Electra content was probably some of the best of the whole show. Her and Dennis, all the Dennis Rodman stuff was excellent.
That's the one thing, like, as much inside as they try and show you, like, there's, I've got my buddy, I talk to you about Big Dirty Dan, former guest of the show.
That's right.
Former wrestler. And the stories that he tells me off camera, you know, wow. And I'll tell you this story because it's not about him, but he was out with Ric Flair one night.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. The title belt was on the line.
You already got me.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about the belt. So they go out, get rip-roaring drunk. Rick goes and hooks up with a girl. She makes him wear the belt. He gets so drunk, like, they're banging on the door, like, Rick, we gotta go. He runs out of the hotel room, jumps on the plane. He forgot the belt.
What? He left it in there?
And he doesn't realize till he's on the plane. He lands in Kansas City, has to turn around, fly back, runs into the hotel, chick's still passed out, grabs his belt, and then he comes back because he had to defend the title that night. Like that's the story. Like, I would just want to sit in a room, you know.
Woo.
Yeah. And they just started coming out.
That's why he's the man. That's why he's the man.
They just started coming out with documentaries, Macho Man and Roddy Piper. Mm-hmm. They just released those, and I'm hoping they're going to do more. I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
But Roddy Piper had the leather jacket. But it was actually made out of Kevlar because he got stabbed so many times by fans.
Jeez. Oh, my God. It was a different time. It was a different time.
Different time,
that's for sure.
Makes my life seem a little... I got sunburned in Belize last week.
Sure. No. Hey, how was that trip? Are you allowed to... Can we talk about that on this show?
Yeah, I wasn't able to do a show for a week because I was traveling... I went to Belize, and I actually was going to do a show from Belize. However, the first day I got there, I swam with manatees, sharks. We caught lobster and cooked them on the boat and saw turtles and stingrays. The water was so clear, like literally I dove like 20, 25 feet down to the bottom, and you could see like straight up. Like it was the clearest water I've ever been in.
Wow.
But I'm very fair skinned, and I did sunscreen 3 times, like before the boat, on the boat.
You got. It's the sun's different down there, dude. It's different.
It was so bad. Like the next day, I couldn't even get out of bed. It hurt so much. And then there's this thing called Hell's Itch. Trust me, it's a real thing. Google it. And it's after, like, it's after when the burn subsides, so like 2 days later,
mm-hmm.
and this itch starts going on because your nerve endings are so frayed or whatever.
Man. Dude, you got bad shape.
So aloe vera doesn't even work. Like, because everyone's like, oh, put aloe in it. It made it worse. The only thing that made, and you literally go like insane. Like, I'm like on the ground, you know, in this hotel room by myself. I'm sure the neighbors think I'm having wild sex, but it was not. And the only thing that makes it feel better is a steaming hot shower. Because
you would think the opposite.
But the pain that you endure from the heat of the water is better than the itch. So it's like when you would like hurt your finger and your dad would be like, well, let me hit the other finger so, you know, the hurt would numb each other. Stupid logic. But that's the only thing. I went to a pharmacist and he gave me ibuprofen the first day. I took like 200 600 milligrams, did nothing. I go back to him. I was like, I really need something stronger. Because I can't even sleep. And this is Belize. And he was like, yeah, like OxyContin? I was like, fine. He pulled out a thing of 50 OxyContin. I was like, whoa. I'm in recovery, first off.
We're not going to get crazy here. Yeah.
Yeah. Second off, I was like, I just need like enough for 2 days. So I got like 8. Yeah. And I've never tried OxyContin, but it worked. Like, well, that's good. I
got a little relief.
Yeah. And
he's like, what else do you need? What else can I sell you while you're in this pharmacy in the middle of the
They had everything. You just have to ask. Yeah. It's great. Yeah.
All right. Do we have to do some predictions here? Can we take it back to the NBA? Do we have to do some predictions? Do we have to put our reputations on the line with how we, since we are at the beginning of the playoffs, the small enough sample size that, you know, nothing's really been ruined just yet.
I guess we should. I've got a couple. How about you?
The Knicks just lost that game.
Yeah.
Dude, they were up 103-100 with a minute to go. They lost 107-105. I just looked in real time. Shoot.
How about you ask a prediction? We'll do 4 prediction questions. You ask 2, I'll ask 2, and then we'll go from there. Because just saying who's going to be in the finals is kind of, all right. Yeah.
Okay, you start.
All right, my prediction question is, who do you think is going to be the Tyler Hero of this year's NBA playoffs? So a guy that is kind of known but becomes like a household name during these playoffs. So you kind of have to pick a team that's going to go far, but obviously Kawhi Leonard's not going to be your Tyler Hero.
Well, listen, if Trae Young could win the first series and beat Philly and get that far in, I think some people could start to know about him a little bit more.
But isn't he?
He's been around. He's a name. But yeah. I mean, like, to where more people, because right, all the focus right now is going to be LeBron and CP3 and Dame and even Giannis and Embiid. That would map him up. It would map him up like in a larger audience.
I'll give you a second chance at that because he's kind of the guy for Hawks.
Right.
Tyler Hero, like you had Bam, you had Jimmy Butler. So like,
yeah, man, I liked Bam last year a lot too.
It's kind of like that sneaky star, like. Like I would, he won't be this year, but like Duncan Robinson for the Heat is kind of actually taking over Tyler Hero's spot. You know, he's at scoring more and getting way more playing time. For me, if I'm going to pick that sleeper guy, I think that this is like Michael Porter Jr.'s breakout because they don't have Jamal Murray.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with him. But also, like, even
somebody in that supporting cast, somebody in that LA supporting cast that could kind of get rolling.
Yeah. Now, and I've said this, and I don't actually think it's going to happen because there's a good chance he might not even play in the playoffs. But Luke Kennard, former Dookie, plays for the Clippers, and he actually has somewhat of a Tyler Hero game, like an outside shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if like you've got Kawhi and you've got Paul George. And as we know, Paul George tends to disappear in the playoffs anyways. So there could be a third guy in the Clippers if they go far.
Now, so that's why I'm saying watch the Suns. I think if the Suns can beat the Lakers and that team gets going, because I think their path, I still think they have a really good path. If they can beat the Lakers, I think they're in the NBA Finals. I mean, I think if the Suns can beat the Lakers, I think they'll be in the NBA Finals. So is there somebody on that team not named Chris Paul, right?
Well, Ayton today 20 yeah. and 15.
Right.
You know, and he was the best big man on the floor today.
Yep.
And that included Anthony Davis.
So it'll be one of those guys, right? Not CP3, not Booker. It'd be one of those other guys, even a Crowder or somebody that just like gets rolling like that.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Your question. All right. Sir.
Well, I was going to just ask you who you were going to take in the finals, but you made
well, it. Well, that's easy.
I wasn't allowed to ask you that.
I'm a chalk guy. Lakers, Nets. You know.
Superstar we won't see, not named LeBron, that we won't see get out of the first round. That should. Is there a superstar that you could see not getting out of the first round? That should, like, that's an MVP candidate.
Well, Chris Paul, unfortunately.
Okay.
That, now, I mean, if, you know.
What about Giannis? You think the Heat used up the run a year ago with that Magic in the bubble?
Kind of, yeah.
I don't see Giannis in the
– I think if the Heat had won game one, then they had a good shot. I think Giannis is – he's got to prove it. Like, it's funny because you've been back-to-back MVPs and you haven't been to a finals, and it doesn't look good for you for the finals this year. You know, I've been saying Giannis needs to leave Milwaukee for a long time anyways. You know, and that's a good example too. Like, Giannis or Jimmy Butler, one of them is going to go home. I think the worst thing for the NBA actually – would be as if the Mavs lose and Luka Doncic is only in for one round.
Yeah. I can't figure the Clippers out. I don't have a lot of faith in them. I do not have a lot of faith in them.
People do not. Kawhi Leonard is one of the lowest. Like, people do not.
Yeah.
When you're a basketball guy, you appreciate Kawhi, but I don't know anybody that would have a Kawhi jersey, you know, except a handful of Clippers fans. And even then, they probably have a Paul George jersey.
Yeah, probably.
So, I would say another question would be, what is a surprise team that you think could actually make the finals? Lakers and Nets being the front runners, obviously. So,
yeah, but see, the Lakers aren't really a surprise, right? There wouldn't be a surprise. I don't think Phoenix is. If Phoenix can beat LA, I think I'm gonna ask you my other question here in a second. I'm looking at the bracket right now. It would be like the winner of the Knicks and Hawks series getting sure. juice and rolling, right? Two young teams, right? Super young teams, not proven. Tell me a guy on those teams who's like been through the ringer. There's probably some guys I'm not thinking about, but they're young star driven teams. But again, Philly's Philly, and they've never really made the run. So, I mean, if one of those young teams gets past Philly, let's say Miami beats Milwaukee. Brooklyn's beating Boston. I mean, they ain't, right? You know,
unfortunately.
But what if Miami pulls something off, and then that Knicks Hawks winner is making a run there? I mean, one of those two young teams, that would be surprising for me if one of those two young teams made a run at it.
You know what's great about the Hawks Knicks is that they're both first time in the playoffs. In a while, you know, and so if they were playing a former player, like if, you know, they were playing Milwaukee or the Sixers or something, no chance in advancing. But because they're playing each other and they don't have much experience, one of them is going to get the experience and then move on.
And then move on.
That could, so,
right.
You know, the fact that the Hawks or the Knicks will be in the second round.
Yep.
And unfortunately, with injuries, you never know. Like, if you're playing the Sixers in the second round and, you know, unfortunately, like Embiid goes down or Tobias Harris or something like that, that's a big blow. And Embiid is – every player this year, this has been the biggest year for injuries. And we haven't even talked about this. It's already starting to – it's popped up. It's COVID. What happens if you get COVID? You know, like right. It's not guaranteed. And they're traveling. It's not the bubble anymore. So
are they going to treat it like they did the NCAA tournament where they're just going to pull teams out?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean, but for sure, like, if one player tests positive for COVID, then he's done for a week.
Right.
And that's a
right.
series.
So that could be a game changer.
You know, and it was crazy is in the World Series, Justin Turner got pulled in, like, what, the seventh inning of the last
in the
game?
Middle of the game.
Like, oh, yeah. Now he's got COVID.
Then he ran out on the field and celebrated with his teammates afterwards, but. whatever. All right, here's my last question for you. Am I sleeping on the Jazz? I feel like I'm sleeping on the Jazz.
Everybody has, and everybody will. You know, like, they're amazing. And what's crazy, though, is Donovan Mitchell hasn't played in, like, 10 games or something like that. So, you know, one, he could be very rested, you know, but, again, that injury bug is real. But it's always – everybody sleeps on the Jazz. Nobody knows about them. And they've been arguably the best team in the NBA all season.
Really good. They were really good last year.
Something about Utah, I guess.
Something about Utah, man.
The feed doesn't break out of Utah, you know. Yeah. And it's – if Donovan Mitchell had played all year like he played in the bubble, we would have heard a lot more. But they became such a good team with Gobert. You've also got Mike Conley, who is, you know, an all-star in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
I never liked watching John Stockton and Karl Malone play. Much respect, but I never got excited with,
right,
you know, even the way the mailman dunked. And he had some thunderous dunks, but it just didn't look right to me.
Wasn't working for you?
And that's just the Jazz MO. Even when they had, like, Boozer and Darren Williams years ago, you still didn't hear about it, you know? Like, they never had a player that was electrifying, like must-see TV. And I think Donovan Mitchell is that player. Again, I just don't think he was as electrifying during the regular season. But if he starts dropping 40 pieces again, you know, then the league will take notice. And thank God they got the Grizzlies instead of Golden State, you know.
Right.
Like, I just don't trust Steph Curry in a 7-game series at all. Like, He can go for 50 four games in a row and you're out.
Yep.
I think the Grizzlies actually match up better as a team, but I'll go with that X factor, you know. But it'll be kind of cool to see John Morant, you know.
Well, dude, the challenge the Jazz have is, right, like, Mitchell's not playing in the first game. He's out with an ankle injury, I think. If memory serves.
Still injured, yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to have, I mean, that. So it is a bit of a wild card, man. John Morant is rolling, right? Memphis gets in him early. You know, you got your best player hurt. And it's wild, man. I mean, things could happen, but they won a lot of ball games this year compared to anybody else. So that's why I'm like, I still feel like I just don't know much about them. It's not like Utah Jazz games are, you know, must see TV for me to watch and see what's up.
Well, you know, go back to Seattle playing Denver with Dikembe Mutombo, and they had Sean Kemp, and they had the best league and best record in the league, and they lost to Denver in the first round. And
mm-hmm.
Our Knicks were an A seed and upset the one seeds. That was a weird year. So no one was, you know, legitimately.
Yep.
The seedings were pretty skewed back then, but because of the short season.
All right. Do we have to do how much time do we have here? I don't know how long you usually go on these. I forget. You kind of go for a while, right?
I'll go as long as you
so it is episode 23, bro, right? It's episode 23 here for your show.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to weigh in on the debate, right? The debate forever that will be forever in time of who's the greatest. And you said earlier you thought LeBron was the greatest. I mean, you said LeBron.
I know it's LeBron.
You know it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it today because I was like, I bet we'll probably talk about it. And
doing your homework.
How you can compare them. But one thing I did think about was the longevity of which LeBron has been doing this and the ability for him to deliver so many teams to the finals. And I was thinking I've been watching LeBron. I got married in 2007, right?
Yeah.
April 27, 2007. On our honeymoon, if memory serves me correct, on our honeymoon, I was on the beach at a giant screen on the beach. And I was watching the Spurs and the Cavaliers.
Okay.
In the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago.
He went to 9 or 10 straight finals. Right.
And Mike.
The last time he didn't go to the finals was his first year in LA when he got hurt.
Yeah. Mike went to 6. So the challenging part that I have is, and I still have MJ in the number one seed. Is it is so much longevity for LeBron and so many different teams. And no offense, so many shitty guys that he brought along the way with him. So there, the playoff comparison, I think, is a real conversation to be had around just everything he's been able to do for such a long time. What all of MJ's abilities and his ability to take over a game and just to be relentless and to win no matter what, I still think that's what makes him just the greatest. I don't even know they would have been guarding each other.
Let me ask you this, and I'm going to build my case for LeBron. Tom Brady is arguably the GOAT for the NFL, right?
Yeah. I think it was solidified after last year for having to move and go do it on his own and go do it down there. I think he fully solidified it.
And I defer to you for football knowledge. You have one drive left to win the championship. Any quarterback in NFL history, who do you go with?
It's probably Brady.
Could it be Montana? Could it be Phil Simms in the Super Bowl?
Phil Simms 22 for 25 in the Super Bowl is the greatest performance. Montana would be tough too, but Brady's done it time and time again and was always clutch, and you always want the ball in his hand. It's hard to make that. I would just take Brady for everything. I would take Brady for all that. I take it for the IQ. He did it four times and Peyton never did it. Peyton might have been the smartest quarterback, right? Okay. But he just did it more times. I think he's physically a little bit more dominant than Montana was so damn good. it's either one of those two guys.
So, and I think the same is true. It's either Jordan or LeBron. But the reason why I always make this clarification, the reason he's the greatest of all time is because he's the greatest basketball player, meaning encompassing every element of basketball. Whereas, if I have one game-winning shot, I will take Jordan every day.
It's MJ.
And if I have to win one game, I will take MJ. But my argument is that LeBron will make the best basketball play every time at the end of the game, but Jordan will always take that shot, and I still want him. I'd rather him take the shot over a double team than LeBron make the right pass. But from a basketball standpoint, LeBron's still making the right play. Mm-hmm. Charles Barkley was talking about this on Dan Patrick the other day, and he was saying in the finals when they were playing the Bulls, the last game they were up by six, and he said three straight trips they double teamed him and he passed. He said, "I made the right basketball play. The other guys just missed." And he said, "That's the one thing that keeps me up is I shouldn't have made the pass, even though it was the right play." He's like, "I should have taken it myself because I was that great." And LeBron misses that sometimes. Like, he will make that pass. Yep. And Jordan was never going to make that pass. And Jordan was going to find a way to get the ball.
And Jordan made big passes and guys made big shots. But you're right. LeBron defers it into that more.
If it's one shot, I would even take Kobe over LeBron.
I think I would too.
But if I'm building my franchise and like I have to build it around one player for the longevity of my franchise, I will take LeBron.
Don't you think Pippen would have guarded LeBron more than MJ would have guarded LeBron if they were playing each other?
Yeah, LeBron would have never guarded Jordan.
Right.
You know, Jordan never got the great defenders. In fact,
Think about if those teams were playing the Heat, right? So if they were playing the Heat, right, the big three versus the Bulls, I think Wade would have been on Jordan more than LeBron would have been.
You know, they probably would have put, like, Iguodala on Jordan.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, a guy that can work only on guarding Jordan. See, that's now in the NBA, too. Like when the Lakers were playing Golden State, like, why don't you just – my thought was, why don't you just put LeBron on Steph? But it doesn't matter because they're going to run a switch. Mm-hmm. Whoever the weakest defender on the court is going to end up guarding Steph Curry, or there's going to be some kind of mismatch because they always do the screen and rolls now. And it just doesn't matter who's listed as guarding you. They're going to switch off, you know, and you have to, especially with Steph. So it's a different game. I will also say when Jordan left the first time from the Bulls, they lost three games more than the team before, you know, the third championship. And then when he left again, that Bulls team, I might be wrong on this, but I feel like they were like a playoff contender, you know, the next year after the third one. Whenever LeBron left, they were number one draft pick.
Yep.
Like, and when he got there to each team, like, they were the bottom seller. Like, you know, Cleveland, when he got there, when he got drafted, they obviously tanked to get him, but, you know, they were the worst team in the league. And then he brought them to the finals. He leaves, then they're back, number one draft pick. Like, not even not even to the point where they were, like, contending for a playoff and they were just in a lottery. They were the worst team. And Miami was the only case where they still missed the playoffs before he got there. And then he joins the Heat. They do their thing. He leaves the Heat. Again, they drop off considerably.
Yep.
Joins a terrible Cavs team. Joins a terrible Laker team. And people forget that first year with the Lakers, they were fourth when he got injured with that terrible team. Mm-hmm. You know, they were still fourth. You know, so what would have been had he not gotten hurt?
Well, it's always a fun conversation. I'm kind of a believer too, that I don't know that it has to be that definitive. You don't have to pick anything. To say that one person is to be the greatest to have ever done this sport that thousands have played at so many different levels, that incredible. I mean, it doesn't even take Kareem into account. Like you just stop it right there with these two guys. I get it. I know it's a conversation to be had. I think you can have your Mount Rushmore and both those guys can be up there. And I think the way you describe it in those different scenarios, there's different parts to the argument, right? Well, Bill, one kid's got incredible. I mean, he's been doing it since he came into the damn league. Like it's nuts.
The most impressive thing for LeBron is his expectations were unrealistic when he came in. And he surpassed them.
Yes.
Like, how you did that? Like, at least when, you know, like, Jordan had, like, a couple of years where, like, he wasn't even the number one pick. No one was, like, saying you're going to be Air Jordan in this greatest. Like, there was no real pressure on him. But LeBron, it was, like, from day one. The other thing, too, is, that, you know, when you look at winning, it's like if it's just winning, then Bill Russell's the greatest. But Bill Russell is, like, 6'7", 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
With Bill Russell, obviously he won 11 titles in today's league, you know, but could even start in today's era just because of the size, you know. Like, I still think Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem probably would have found a way,
mm-hmm.
you know. But like a guy like Shaq, if he played in this era, you know, again, you get a guy.
I take him.
Yeah,
Hey Jason. Give me the ball. Watch what I can do.
But centers have to be able to shoot the three. I always
remember. Well, that's not going to work. That's not going to work for Fuya. It ain't going to work for Shaq Diesel. That's for sure. So, it's like he's holding a tennis ball. Yeah, he's. I'm a big Shaq fan.
Better Shaq. Like
his personality too.
He's so great after. What like it was almost kind of like you were ready for him to retire. Like when he was going from the Boston.
Just get this guy on TV immediately.
Hang it up. Get on TV.
He played for the Celtics. Shaq played for the Celtics.
The big Shamrock. The big cactus. I don't know what they called him in Cleveland.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know Shaq-tus. If he was there long enough to get a nickname.
The Shaqtus.
Did you see the Papa John's commercial where he's undercover boss?
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm Shaq. And the guy's like, I know it was you. It's me. It's Shaq. Hey, guys. I'll take a pizza. Let me get 8 pizzas.
Oh, man. That's the number one athlete that I want to meet in person.
Yeah, it'd be cool to meet him.
And it's just because I want to see, like, his size.
Just how big he is. Yeah.
Especially now because you know he ain't playing weight. You know.
No. He's a big fella. He's the big fella. He's the diesel.
The big fella.
He's a diesel.
So, I guess we're kind of wrapping it up towards the end. One of the things we used to do in our teenage early 20s is we ended every show with beer, babe, and quote. So that was our beer of the week, babe of the week, and quote of the week. I will tell you that my beer of the week, which has been for 15 years, is O'Doul's now. Good because man. I've grown up 15 Great years job. Of sobriety. Yep, so, well, but if I want to enjoy some suds, I will. Actually, there's a really good one called Caliber made by Guinness, but it's not out in many places. And, you know, that is my go-to beer. I'll defer to you on that one.
Was it dad of two little ones, maybe a root beer float might be what's in order here. I'll still have a couple in my day here. Had a couple IPAs this weekend. So the level of craftsmanship in the brews, based on what we were calling for back in those days, it was a lot of whatever you're drinking or whatever's free or Bush Light or.
Oh, I mean, it was a real thing. Like, oh, let's get a good beer. Let's get a Corona.
Yeah.
You know, that was a good craft beer.
It was a big time. Went through a lot of Rolling Rock back in our day.
Yeah, you used to get the posters.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I can't give you a babe of the week. I can't do it.
You got a wife and kids. I got wife and kids. That's your babes of the week, right?
That's right. I got three of them.
I will go with an old but true Britney Spears.
Well, we did mention Carmen Electra on the show, so you can always go back to Carmen too, just for old time's sake.
Yeah, and quote of the week.
Do you have a quote prepared?
I always have a quote prepared.
Well, what do you got? Let's hear what you got. I want to be motivated.
Pain heals. Chick stick scars. Glory. Last forever. Keanu Reeves replacements.
That's a good one. That one's got me motivated. Got me feeling good.
True story. In London at a conference, I was speaking when I was promoting my book, and I was on stage giving a motivational entrepreneurial speech. And at the end of my speech, I said, and guys, I just want you to remember one thing. And I said that quote. Fortunately, they were a lot younger than me and they didn't get it. But and what's funny about that is, like, as I wish I recorded it, because when you and I both were broadcasters, even though we didn't work in the same area, there were times where we would send each other clips because we would include an inside joke between you and I. And it was like the greatest thing ever.
Yep. Oh, it's always a good time. Here's one for you. You are the average of the five people you spend most of your time with. I'll take the average of spending time with you, my brother, as one of my favorite people on this planet. Best friend since the fourth grade, man. Love what you're doing here, man. Proud of you. Proud of that 15 years, man. Proud of that 15 years. That's a lot. It's been a lot. Well done. Keep grinding here.
Hey, one day at a time, you know. Yes, sir. You know what's funny is your family could be four of my five, because you got you and your two brothers and the general.
Yep.
You know,
not bad company.
So
not bad company.
Yeah, I grew up as an only child, and Dice was the oldest of three in a military family, so I got the discipline that I needed when I visited him. And she got
And I got the freedom stuff. I got the freedom I needed when I went to your house.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. All the Mountain Dew you can handle. Let's go watch some hoops, man. I gotta go watch the Jazz. They're losing right now, but I gotta get to know this team.
All right. So before we go, do your shill, drop us the Pick Up the Six and let us know what's coming up next for you.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, so pickupthesix.com. Again, we're on all major podcast apps. We're on iTunes and Spotify, Google Play, SoundCloud, all that stuff. We're recording here on a Sunday night, so we got Memorial Day week coming up. Man, we did an amazing couple episodes last week. I talked to Lieutenant Michael Murphy. If you, again, have seen the movie Lone Survivor, Medal of Honor winner Michael Murphy, incredibly famous Navy SEAL, laid down his life for our nation, had an interview with his dad about a week ago that was really pretty powerful. I also got to speak to a Medal of Honor winner, Melvin Morris. This guy was in Vietnam in 1969, and another commander that he was serving with was shot and killed, and Melvin Morris took two other men and they went into the jungle to basically go pull his body out, because we leave no man behind. And in the process, the two guys he was with got wounded. Melvin had to drag them out. Then he had to still go back in to try to get the body. He brought the body out. On the way out, the map case fell out of the guy's pocket and had all their intel in it. And he couldn't let the enemy get that. So they had to go back in and get that. He got shot three times. He had to drag himself out of there. I mean, it's an amazing story, he tells me. So we aired that one at the end of last week. So you can go see that. And then we've got a Gold Star Wife coming up this week. We're also going to start getting back to interviewing some really cool business owners that are running like nonprofits and charities that are being very impactful in their work. And so we're going to do cool stuff like that. So pickupthesix.com. We're at pickupthesix on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. And we're trying to put up 2-3 episodes a week, man, and just keep sharing these cool stories about awesome people doing awesome stuff.
Who was the interview with Colin Kaepernick?
So that's Nate Boyer. Nate Boyer has an incredible story. This guy grew up in California, was kind of, and he'll tell you, was sort of kind of just floating in life, you know, was kind of floating. And then he found out about all this incredibly terrible genocide happening. And he was like, I got to go do something about this. And so he basically like one-way ticket flew across the country, man, into like Africa or something. And he started trying to give back. And at one point he was helping all these people like rebuild these huts and these houses and all this stuff. And he got really sick with malaria. And while he was sick with malaria, the host family gave him a radio and he kept hearing about the army and the Green Berets. So then he goes into the army. He serves in the Green Berets for like 6 years, special operator, like does all this crazy stuff. Then he goes and plays college football at the University of Texas. Then he goes into the NBA for a few years, or not the NBA, the NFL for a few years. And when he's in the NFL, he's a veteran, right? The Kaepernick stuff is happening. And he writes this open letter to Kaepernick, basically saying like, dude, I don't really like what you're doing here, protesting the national anthem. But then they have a conversation and Kaepernick tells him his reasons why. Nate listens to him and opens his ears up like what many people won't do. Even if you don't agree with somebody, we at least open your ears up. And Nate says to him, hey man, okay, I understand what you're doing now that you've told me about it. Thank you for sharing that with me. But you're sitting on the bench. You're not inspiring a lot of people to take any action by sitting there. Would you be willing to at least walk up to the field and take a knee? And so Nate suggested that. And Kaepernick started doing that. And then it kind of went from there. And the story is much longer after that, but really pretty cool story. So Nate Boyer is his name. I can't remember the episode number, but if you go back and look on the website, you can see Nate and he's got a really cool story. And again, that was one where I just reached out and asked him. And he was like, you know what? I do probably too many of these, but it seems like you got a cool thing here. So I'm down.
It's, you know, all of your episodes are motivational and I love hearing you talk because I know you're an insightful interviewer and, you know, you're my boy. But that one in particular was really interesting to me because I think on both sides of the Colin Kaepernick debate, if they hear that your interview with them and get a true understanding of what went on,
yeah,
then both sides can understand and have an appreciation for and against, you know, but like it was just really interesting.
Well, and this guy's role in the story, right, too. So there's a lot of, we live in a day and age where we have so much at our fingertips. We have so much information, yet we're devoid of context. Mm-hmm. All we see are quick tweets or social media posts, and we get a little bit of this, we get a little bit of that. Like there's so much info out there, yet it seems like we're just trying to grab something quick and keep moving. So the context is always missing. And we all remember parts of the Kaepernick thing and all this, and you could debate whether he should be in the league or not, whatever. I don't really care. My point was, I want to hear the story of the guy who suggested to him in the first place, why don't you walk up to the field? And his point was, when somebody gets hurt on the field, we take a knee. When a soldier gets killed in combat, they take a knee. Like, at least if anything, walk up here to the end and take a knee and do that. And so to hear Nate talk about it and to talk about, we should just listen to each other a little bit more than just pointing fingers and telling everybody why they're so wrong and I'm so right. You know, it was just, he took a moment and they had a conversation and he got to hear and he heard what he was trying to do. And then they put a plan in place where Kaepernick was kind of just sort of flailing around a little bit, trying to figure out what he was going to do. So I thought it was a cool story. And he shared it awesomely and we had a great conversation. He's a cool guy. And I mean, he's lived quite a life, right? Like up in the Sudan, you know, basically work. He just talks his way in. He just wants to help people out. And then he goes in the freaking Green Berets for 6 years before he goes and plays college football at the University of Texas. Guy had never played organized football. University of Texas is a pretty big football program.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, right. You've heard of it. So yeah. To do that, and then he's on the Seahawks for a couple of years. I mean, it's wild stuff.
That's good, man.
That's episode 19, my brother Nate Boyer. Episode 19 on pick'em6.com.
Well, you've been the guy that's picked up my six more than anyone else, and you know it. I appreciate you not just joining, but like episode 23, the Michael Jordan episode, and like I said, you know, it started with it just thinking like of Kenny Mayne and how we had interviewed him, and just kind of taking it back. And also, I hope for anyone that's watched all the way to this end that has any desire on content creation, especially in NBA Top Shot, where a lot of people are emerging. Maybe they don't quite know exactly what they want to do, or, you know, even a broadcasting student or something. Like, you got two guys that have run the gambit on it, you know, and it's been a great journey. 30 years plus, 20 years behind the mics, and, you know, great, great NBA playoff preview. Please do not take any of your bets seriously. We're just two guys that are spouting off our subpar opinions. So.
That's right. And you make it this what far, you can always put on one of these.
Yeah.
Vintage. This is a vintage John Starks jersey.
Knicks Lakers in the finals. Let's get it.
I'd be down for that. I'll be down for that. We'll see what happens. Love the conversation, man.
All right. That's going to do it. Be sure to subscribe. Drop some comments. Let us know who you think is going to win in the NBA playoffs. Any thoughts you have. And be sure to check out Pick Up the Six with Brian Jonas. We'll see you next time.